Just Another Magic Podcast is brought to you today by MDGMadness.com and by MDGO bot Motomark. That's Moto underscore Mark. Be sure to check them out and let them know that we sent you. And now, on with the show.
Hello again, and welcome to episode 54 of Just Another Magic Podcast. I am Jason, as always, here to complain about something. And with me, as always, is...
Everyone, Greystone here, and I'm here to tell Jason that he's wrong.
Well, nobody tells me I'm wrong.
Is that anything like nobody puts baby into the corner?
Yeah, I think so. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, I think.
One day I will get you. I will have you cultured. One day.
One day. That day may come many years from now. So, for those of you getting excited about me becoming a normal person, that ain't happening.
No, I never said normal. I said cultured.
I guess. Society will no longer look down upon me.
Well, parts of society will.
Yeah, the people that I talk to now that are not cultured. All right, so we have a few things to talk about today.
Yes, we do. What's first on our list?
How do you pronounce color in Canadian?
Color, the same way that everyone else does.
Well, with a U, wouldn't you say color or something?
No. That'd be French. You're thinking like amour.
Okay, so yes, color features from the beta. What are those? I don't even know what this is, so.
Well, with the last update, they made it so that while you're playing, the outside border, there's a little frame around the cards to say what is playable, what you clicked, what your target is. And it's not unattractive. It actually almost seems like it was meant to be in there.
Really? WotC did something correct for once? I can't believe that.
I know. But it doesn't take away from the experience, which I like. At least it doesn't for me. Another thing that they updated was I was playing a hexproof match, and I had a spider umbra on my creature. It was the only creature I had, and they did a destroy all effect. I don't think it was Wrath of God. I don't think it was Supreme Verdict. I can't remember what the bloody hell it was. Oh well, it didn't force me to have to actually select which effect I was going to use in order to negate my Slippery Boggle dying. It actually calculated it in automatically. It was a nice little...
Interesting.
Not have to take 5 to 10 seconds to actually interact with the client.
Now, one thing that I had... Well, this is a bit sidetracked, but still about the beta. I was watching the R&D challenge, and someone had asked, I don't know if you know the F7 key, what that does? Play
F2,
stupid.
F6, F7. No, I don't know what the
F7 okay. is. Are you playing stupid, or do you know what it is?
I don't remember.
Okay, so F7, if you have a bunch of the same triggers, it automatically stacks them.
Oh, No, I don't use F7.
Well, I do all the time.
It can stack, but it can stack improperly.
Oh no, it has to be the same trigger.
It has to be the same trigger?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
So when you F7, they're going to make that automatic in the beta.
They're going to automatically...
Automatically have F7 hit. So like if you have, I don't know, like you played Empty the Warrens and you have a trigger that says whenever, like a Purphoros plus Empty the Warrens, it will automatically stack all of your triggers. So that you don't have to individually click on them or press F7. Because there's no reason to have to do that.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
No, not at all. I'm actually excited about that. Because usually I play a lot of Commander and F7 is a necessity. So, yeah, this color feature is interesting.
It is. I also noticed, oh, it didn't do it this time. Oh, wait, it did do it this time. The last time I logged in, it automatically brought me to where I was in the play lobby last, so modern tournament practice. As soon as I logged in, I went over to the play lobby button, and I was right there where I wanted to be.
So interesting.
Thought that was nice.
So they're actually if they were to make that, if they were to add all these great new features into version 3, I'd be happy. But
the only thing I don't like is that they haven't changed. Whenever you update the client, you still get all the little pop-ups of this person is trying to interact with you while you're in the game with that person. And you can go into the whole account, buddy's clan chat, and you can unclick them all. It still happens.
That's
annoying.
Pretty terrible.
That's the most annoying part about all of it. But other than that, no, it's very interesting seeing the different colors around the cards. Like, white is you can't play it. Blue is it's playable. And red is this is what's being targeted.
I am going to have to jump back on the beta for a game or two and see what that's like.
And so it looks like they're trying to make...
I'm going to miss the arrows, though. The arrows are so helpful.
I don't know. I wasn't a fan of arrows.
I am. I like the arrows better than the borders as... I don't know the word for it, but as...
Cool.
As that looks.
Well, I'm wondering with, Strive coming out as a mechanic, and you being able to target multiple things, instead of having to have a graphic for an arrow to go, okay, this is targeting this, and then this, and then this, if it's just, okay, all these guys are red because they're the ones that are being targeted, might be a little easier on, at the very least, the beta engine.
Sure, but we're the customers, not the programmers. So that's not our job to worry about.
I don't know. I think this is the first big, I don't know, not really big change, but first visible change since the new programmers, so the new outside team has come in to actually do something.
Oh, so something good is being done instead of a bunch of Magic players that have a little bit of programming skills working on it.
Yeah, well, I think that's what this past weekend's experiment with the Shadowmoor and MMA drafts was all about, was getting as many people in as possible so they could start retesting large-scale events.
Well, that's the known purpose, but that's an interesting theory that because they just got their new programmers in. Interesting.
Well, they also said that there were people that were going to be purposefully kicked out.
Yes, I was in one of mine.
Oh, well, I wonder how many people raged in trying to file for comp after that. You know, at least a few people did.
Yeah, I want my $0 back.
Yeah, no, but I think that's what this weekend was for the new programmers to actually see large scale. What happens. And yeah. I don't know if... Oh, here's a theory. They said that people were going to be kicked out on purpose. I'm wondering whether or not that was just said so that when people got kicked out due to, like, the servers not being able to handle it or whatever bug was kicking people out in the first place, they just said that as a kind of a cover so that nobody could complain or... that they would know it was going to happen, and the new developers use that information to hopefully make the client better and be able to actually support large-scale events like that.
That's an interesting theory. I don't know if they would do that, but I know that there were some issues with people getting booted a lot in round one of the first Shadowmoor Sealed, and they had put 40 minutes on everyone's clock for that first round. And that was terrible because it was an hour and a half round, but at least people weren't getting booted out I know a friend of mine got booted from the first Shadowmoor, and then no one I know got booted from any of the other ones.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to play.
Working. Such a terrible thing.
Yeah, you know.
Why can't you just become a professional Magic player?
If I could, I would be happy to.
Well, the first thing is to understand not to play bad decks.
First thing is to get a bank full and don't have to play bad decks.
True.
Mind you, what if, I think it was Chapin said, like, the best advice that he can give to anybody who's just getting in and wants to get better is choose one deck, focus on that deck, play the hell out of that deck, and just go. Just do that deck and don't continuously bounce around. Not that anybody here ever does that.
No, it's not like either of us would ever do a thing like that.
No.
No, we're all completely, completely reasonable people that would never do that.
So, you said you did a couple drafts from this weekend.
Oh, well, they were all actually sealed, but I wanted to talk about one in particular, my Modern Masters sealed. This deck was, do I want to give the spoiler alert or not? I'm not going to give the spoiler alert. If you follow me on Twitter, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, everyone should follow me.
Nice plug.
Yes, shameless plug. Oops, that's my Shadowmoor. I got a foil fetid heath in one of those, which was very nice.
You keeping that or you shipping it?
I think everything has dropped since it's a flashback, so I'm going to keep it. If I needed the tickets, I would sell it, but I don't. Alright, so this deck was a 15-land mid-range deck. Yes, I know, it sounds stupid. Yes, I know, I am stupid.
Nah, I'm not saying anything. That's for everybody else to decide for themselves.
I know, because if you comment too much about that...
you'll kick me off?
Yeah, and then I will have to go and find a mediocre co-host.
Oh.
Which would be disappointing. That would be a downgrade.
Oh, thank you.
Slight downgrade. Alright, so my pool was terrible. My blue was okay, not great. There was a little bit of artifact synergy, but not enough to base a deck around it. My white had Path to Exile, and that was Path to Exile, 2 Bound and Silence, that was it. My red was absolutely miserable. So I had black and green, and I had black and green bad cards. So what do you do when you have black and green bad cards and way too much ramp?
Pull
you play
David
15 lands.
Pull a David and just throw it all together.
Exactly. I played a ham sandwich and I won with it.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so one execution. Well, there was a lot of removal. This deck wasn't too bad, it's just a bit odd that you're playing the 15 lands. So one Executioner's Capsule, 2 Warren Weirding, 1 Thalid Shell Dweller, that's the 0/5. Warren Weirding is
whoa.
Diabolic Edict.
A 0/5? You played a 0/5.
What do you mean?
The 0/5 creature. What was it called
yes.
again?
Thalid Shell Dweller.
Any other abilities?
Yes, it's a Thalid.
So it's a Thalid. It's a 0/5 Thalid.
Yes.
Was Yokox playable?
No. This has upside.
And what, that it's a Thalid?
Yes, that it's a Thalid. It makes Thalid tokens, and I have some other stuff in the deck that combos with it.
Oh,
so shut up until the end.
So, you know, so something like a 0/4 or a 0/5 with heroic. That would be cool, right?
No, it wouldn't. Because you don't have the synergy. See, this next card synergizes with it. It's called Echoing Courage. And then on our 3-drop slot, we have Siphon Life, which wasn't good. Satanal Wood Readers, which is fine. Eternal Witness. Nuts! Fairy Macabre, which I actually used to exile things at one point during the event. Stinkweed Imp. And then this is why I'm playing 15 lands. 3 Search for Tomorrows and 1 Kaldama's Reach. So we have the ramp. If we can get a turn 1 Search for Tomorrow suspended, we're good. If we can get a turn 3 Kaldama's Reach, we're good. Deck gets better. Greater Moss Dog, Marsh Flitter, Masked Admirers, Murderous Redcap. and then Incremental Growth. Do you know that card?
Nope, enlighten me.
3 green, put 1/+1/+1 counter on target creature, put 2+1/+1 counters on target creature, and then put 3+1/+1 counters on target creature.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah, I mean, you just make all of your guys the same size. Like, if you have a red cap, a stinkweed imp, and a moss dog, make them all 4/4s, bash in. Then I have Worm Harvest. That actually wasn't that great. I regret playing it. Giant Dusk Wasp, that card is nuts. And then 2 Sporloth Ancients, which also combo with the Thalid Shell Dwellers. That makes you only have to remove 2 counters to make a Thalid. And then, we also have the basic Land Cycler, Absorb Vise, Absorb Vise is the Land Cycler. And then we have Skeletal Vampire to finish off the curve. So, now do you want to argue about Thalid Shell Dweller?
No. I'm just saying that a 0/5 sounds rather unplayable.
It is rather unplayable. Would you rather me have played Hana Kami? Or another Echoing Courage? Or a Face of Altar? Or an Auntie's Snitch? In retrospect, maybe playing a Macabre over it was right. Maybe playing a Lotus Bloom was right in this deck. Because then you can get... I don't know.
You realize sometime... I'm just giving you a hard time for last week, right?
Oh, I'm aware.
Okay.
That doesn't mean I don't have to fend off the hate.
Okay. Well, you fend off the hate, I'll just keep hating.
You're not casting commons.
That was a low blow.
Yeah, well, they do that to me all the time, so. We also have an announcement. So what do you think about the deck? Then we have an announcement to make from one of our sponsors.
I don't know. I've never actually played Modern Master, so I can't really say.
Well, I thought it was garbage. I 4-1'd with it. I was 3-0, then I lost in game 3. My opponent got extremely lucky. I was stuck on 2 lands because, 15 land decks will do that to you. And then round 4, my opponent just punted that match so badly.
I remember you telling me that. Give me a play-by-play on that.
Let me see if I can pull up a replay, actually. And he was... I don't know if he's a streamer or... I don't know where I know him from, but I know him from somewhere. I'm not going to mention the name. Because we are not one to call out people on the show.
I'm sorry. That was entirely uncalled for.
So that would be 5-3. Let's see. Wasn't Hermit Squirrel. Wasn't that guy. Wasn't that guy. That guy.
Well, there's a guy named Hermit Squirrel.
There's a guy named Hermit Squirrel. Cool. Wasn't bored. Maybe it was this guy? Or was this the Shadowmoor guy that also punted? Yeah, this was the Shadowmoor guy. Draft, constructed, sealed, unknown. It might have been this guy. Replay. Yeah, it was this guy. He was playing blue-black. Was it this guy? Let me just run through the game quickly. Yeah, he was... Okay, yeah, it was this guy. So, he decided to... just one of the misplays, one of the huge ones that I see. I had a Stinkweed Imp in the graveyard. Neither of us had anything on board, and he had 3 mana. He decided to use Fairy Macabre to get rid of the Stinkweed Imp, which has Dredge 5 in a limited format on turn 3. If you can't really dredge that much. So use the Macabre instead of playing it and getting out a board presence to exile my Stinkweed Imp. Which then allowed me to run my red cap into his Latchkey Fairy the next turn. Murderous red cap is absolutely nuts in this format. But yeah, this guy made a ton of misplays. That was just one of them. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Nonetheless, it was entertaining. Got my limited rating back up above 1,800. I don't know how, but I did, so I am happy now. I wonder what Gritstone's rating is.
Yeah, let's not go there.
I can actually see if you're logged off the client.
Well, right now I'm still logged on the client.
That's disappointing.
I'm sure it is.
I will snipe you when you get off.
Yeah, go ahead.
See those low 1,400s.
Or that... I think they actually did a check on me at one point, and I was at 1,500 even.
my god, that's terrible.
I know. Oh, wait, no. Was it 15? What do you start at? 1600?
16.
Okay, it might be 1600. You know what? Here. Let's tell everyone exactly how bad of an online player I am. I'm off. My client is down and give it about 10 seconds, and you can tell everyone how bad of an online player I am.
All right. Well, while we do that, we have a special announcement to make that I don't think Greystone was previewed to.
No. No.
Considering I was just told about it 5 minutes ago. Motomart is launching a new store, Motomart 2, by popular demand.
That's awesome.
Yes, because I try to trade them all the time, and they're full. So now they won't be. So you have no excuse not to check them out. Except if you don't have a Magic Online account, then you have a weak excuse.
Yeah, you should get one. Fix that.
No, you shouldn't get one.
Oh, get one, and then get in on the beta shutdown? Sorry, the V3 shutdown?
Why would you want to get in on the V3 shutdown?
Oh, what, the V3 shutdown's going to be happening, is it this week?
Oh yeah, V3 is going away in June 1st. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
I don't remember the June 1st. I remember for this week for the pre-release being online. They're shutting down V3 early. So
logged on to Moto, by the way.
I am?
Yeah.
I don't know how that's possible. I shut it down.
Oh well, it may take a minute.
Yay, server lag.
So yeah, WotC had originally planned, to have the beta out a long time ago, but then they had said, I believe June 1st was when the beta came out and V3 died. So we only have 3-4 weeks left until V4 comes out and the real client is closed. So condolences to WotC's profits, because nobody's going to play.
I don't think they're going to keep that time frame.
I know. I think their time frame is holiday at best. Maybe by the time we get leagues back, we'll get V4 back.
That's what everyone's hoping, right? We can get leagues back?
I was actually looking into the leagues, and they're incredibly good value. You are 1577 constructed, 1588 limited.
Oh, not as bad as I thought.
You are bad at this game.
Not as bad as I thought.
I thought you had said 1600.
I thought it was 1600.
So you're 15XX.
Still not that bad.
I consider it bad below 1750. So, well, I've been bad at constructed for a while then, because I'm below 1750, but...
Yeah, sorry, we're not all 1900.
I've never hit 1900. I've only been above 1800 for a short period of time. I was running hotter than the sun with Affinity, and I think I got near 1850.
Yeah, you should have stuck with that Affinity, even though it's actually come down in popularity.
Everyone was playing hate for it, so it became unplayable.
I think everyone still is playing hate for it.
Yeah, so it's...
You have hate for artifacts all over the place.
Right.
So
question about the wide beta spotlight, which is over by the time you're listening to this. Can I log into V3 while it's going on?
Nope. They're going to be shutting it down entirely.
That's disappointing. All right, so if you want to be entered into a free draft set giveaway, we'll talk about this at the end of the show as well, you can email moto_mart@outlook.com, the promo code, email him the username and the promo code draft set, no space. So do that, he'll pick one at random to get a free draft set.
That's pretty awesome.
We'll do that at the end of the show as well, and put it in the show notes.
Sounds good. All right.
I'm just chatting with them.
No problem. All right, so what was it? I want to go over the journey cards that are being released. They've already been released in paper, and everyone's been having fun with them, and viability online. What was it? The first thing I want to talk about, we all know I'm a Hexproof player, so Basara Tower Archer.
Boo.
You don't like it?
It's unplayable and limited, okay?
Yeah. Oh, I'll give you that. It's I've had a player try it in limited during my pre-release, and it... No.
If it's unplayable and limited, then how is it a constructed card?
Well, it's another possibility for... Modern Hexproof, maybe? You're typing to tell me how bad I am?
No.
Actually, I was also thinking in Standard. It's another...
Yes. I don't know if you watched the Star City Open at all.
No, I didn't.
There was a Hexproof deck that was doing fairly well that was running those guys in Mana Confluence. Yeah, I watched most of the Legacy Open and a little bit of the Standard Open.
No, I didn't see anything about the Standard Open. Now I gotta look this up.
Maybe we should look at deck lists for it.
Maybe.
Which we never do, but it is the beginning of a new format.
Well,
I believe Blue-White Control won. No, Mono Black Luxact Blue-White in the finals.
So this was Cincinnati, wasn't it?
Yeah, this was Cincinnati.
And top 16, I see a green-white aggro. Is that it? Boon Seder, Voice Resurgence.
No, that's not it.
It
was just on camera, I guess. Maybe it didn't do well. But yeah, Andrew Tenjam won with Black-Green Devotion over Eric Rill with Blue-White Control. The Black-Green Devotion deck, what I have heard is everybody wanted to play Abrupt Decay, and now that we have the temples, you can play Abrupt Decay.
Yep, that looks like it.
And there's also a Vraska, which is interesting. I think the card is unplayable, but that's just me.
Two Golgari Charm in the graveyard.
Sideboard.
Sideboard.
You are very bad at this game. I don't know. I play Mono Black, I don't like it. And it Luxacked on a mulligan to 5, getting 2 Mutavaults against Blue-White Control, which is your standard list. It's running 1 Banishing Light main board. And 2 Nyx Fleece Ram. Oh my god, that's a 0-5 with upside. Are you excited?
Me? No. It's 0-5. It's unplayable. I'm taking the Jason stance.
Alright. Well, it's good again. It's actually... I'm going to take the Greystone stance and say it's really good. Because it is. There are aggro decks running rampant throughout the format. This gains you a life per turn and shuts off one of their creatures. So it's a removal spell that gains you 3 life.
Sure.
So be quiet.
I'm just giving you a hard time. So yeah, no, I was thinking for the Basara Tower Archer, you got Glade Cover Scout, this, and a Witch Stalker, plus Sylvan Caryatid. You had a 16...
Pull up the deck list that he was playing.
Yeah, if you can find that. But 16 hexproof creatures in your deck.
Well, Caryatid cannot attack.
No, but it's great for a mana fix.
Theros Bant Hexproof. I don't think it was Bant, but let me see if this is it. No, this was not it, but it was close. Anyway, yeah, that was an interesting deck. I think it's a possibility. The deck is pretty much free to build, except for the mana base, which is relatively cheap. So I might give it a shot, because I was talking to somebody I know who plays a ton with a ton of different decks, and he was saying that Hexproof is the most powerful deck in the format. It's just not consistent enough. And we think the temples might have added the consistency.
Well, having the temples will help.
Yeah, because that's scrying and mana fixing.
Scrying, mana fixing, plus a new hexproof creature will allow you, if you don't run the Caryatids, you're going to have your up to 12 hexproof creatures, which is what the hexproof deck has always had a problem with, is not having the creatures to be able to toss their ores onto. So. Right. I don't know. I run 2 Solana Ledgewalkers in my modern deck. I'm thinking of putting this in instead.
I think Ledgewalker is better.
Ledgewalker comes with the inherent...
Because it has the evasion.
It has evasion. But this also has like the built-in reach, which makes it so you don't really need Spider Umbra as much.
Are you ever blocking in a Hexproof deck? Not really. And if you're blocking, you're on the back foot to begin with.
Well, if you're blocking, then you probably have Daybreak Cornet down already.
Or you're in a terrible spot against Mono Red.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're blocking, you've already lost the game. Or you've already won the game. Because you have a Cornet.
Yeah. Of which I have 2 now. Hooray! I'm going to have all 4 eventually. Alright, so the next one up is Eidolon of the Great Revel.
Alright, and that thing saw a bit of play in Standard. It's essentially better than Ash Zealot against control decks and Mono Black. That card I'm really scared of in the online metagame when it comes out.
How is it good against Well, Mono Black Hat, a Thought Seize, a Devour
Flesh.
Well,
Thought Seize comes down on turn one.
Yeah.
But it's going to hit Devour Flesh, it's going to hit Pack Rat, which is a big one. It's going to hit Farika's Cure, which was sideboard that was necessary against Mono Red. It hits Bile Blight, it hits Devour Flesh, it hits Doomblade, which is their sideboard against you.
And so you don't even need to sideboard. You
is it three or
this.
Less or two or less?
Three or less.
It's three or less, so it hits them on Spectre, it hits them on Zombie, it hits them on Hero's Downfall, it hits them on Staff of the Death Magus, which is one of the best sideboard cards against them. It hits you on Drown in Sorrow, which you're probably dead to anyway. But wow, that's just insane. I thought it was two or less, and I thought it was good. That card is great. That's not a bulk rare, so if you can get them at bulk, I don't know what they're going for.
Well, let's check and see what our sponsor is selling them at. MTG Madness has them at...
Oh my god. That's a great deal.
There we are. Eidolon of the Great Rebel. And they are currently selling them at $4 a piece.
That, in my opinion, that's about where they should be priced, but if you can find them lower, get them. In trade or whatever.
I'm going to try this Wednesday at my LGS to see if I can get them, just because I think it would be great. I think it would be great in a red deck wins. This is exactly what red deck wins needed, to be able to have a consistent one drop, consistent two red, two drop. So you got this and Ash Zealot. Three drop, you got your Boros Reckoner and Fanatic Amogus just to say hello to your opponent's face. I think with this coming in, it has the potential, especially considering this, well, it doesn't shut down, but it punishes everything else that's out there.
Yes, it does. I like the card. It's not a $4 card. I wouldn't be speculating in paper because I don't speculate in paper, but if it comes out online for like $2, I'm snapping these up all day long.
Actually, that just reminded me of something. I gotta check something else out.
What card are you throwing money at? That's not a good speculation.
I'm still checking this one out.
Oh, is this a theory that you have that's not going to work out? Like
probably.
Your Spear of Heliods? That are rotting in my binder?
Hey, they were cheap. They were absolutely cheap.
And now they're 5 cents down from 13. You're good for your Chittering Rats speculations. That's about it.
Yes, and they actually have still gone up.
I actually have a playset for Mono Black and Pauper right now.
Awesome.
Indeed. Yeah. Might be worth it if you're looking to buy... Not Chittering Rats, I'm talking about something else. Might be worth it, though. So what if you had an infinite amount of money, what would you play in Standard?
Oh, what would I play in Standard?
Yes.
I don't know, I'm kind of psyched for like the red deck wins with splashing white for the Chained of the Rocks.
Interesting. I'm not sure, because I would just buy whatever I want to play, but I'm seriously considering buying into Legacy, and I know that's a bad idea, but I'm considering it.
It's a really bad idea.
Yeah, but Death and Taxes is so good.
Right, so,
wait, why did they still call it Death and Taxes? I thought they were calling it Sandusky for a while.
I don't know. But, so, okay, do you think, going back to the Eidolon, do you think it has any place in Modern? In, say, Modern Burn?
I think it's better than Goblin Guide. Nobody attack me on that. Try it first, tell me if it's better or worse. Because the only thing it's bad against is the blue-white, blue-white-red control decks, which I believe you have a good matchup against to begin with.
Usually. All right. Next up I come up with is... You remember the Nivek Cyclops deck?
How could I forget? I have a clip on my Twitch.tv channel of me winning on a mulligan to 4, I believe, in Standard, with a Nivek Cyclops combo deck when I was a bad player.
Okay. Because with Journey into Nyx, I found three cards that could actually maybe have a benefit to it. Maybe actually make it somewhat decent again. Not playable, but...
Wait, again? When was it somewhat decent in the past?
I'm going to go with when Travis Wu was playing it.
Okay. You watched my MTG Finance video.
Me? No.
Oh. Well, my thoughts on Travis Wu are in that.
Okay.
Take 8 minutes of your life, and there have been people commenting on Reddit, actually, about my comments about Travis Wu. But I think that he makes completely unplayable decks and should not be listened to.
Well, to name these cards, because it's red, blue. For anybody who's listening and doesn't know the Nivik Cyclops deck, essentially what you're trying to do is deal as much damage as possible with the Cyclops, which is a 1/4 for 3 mana, 1 red, blue. And whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, it gets +3/+0, and it can attack as though it didn't have Defender. The most recent cards that have come out in Journey that I think might give it fringe viability, Aerial Formation. So you get +1/+1 and can fly over your opponent. Not that bad, I think.
No, not really.
Okay. Blinding Flare, which is +2/+0 and Trample. Still pretty good to be able to get everything through because we lost Artful Dodge, which was the big key card that made it viable.
Right.
And the last
Wait, viable. Stop. Made it...
Fringe.
Made it rogue.
Rogue, yes. And the last one in being Rouse the Mob.
I don't know what that does.
It's one red strive for... Sorry, it's just red strive, cost of red. Target creatures can't block this turn.
Oh, yeah. The actual nuts. I remember that for limited.
So, I think all three of those could actually have some level of viability for it. As a completely rogue fringe, maybe something to play at FNM.
Yeah, I'm actually considering playing FNM again, maybe starting to be a normal person and not just sitting and playing Magic Online.
Yeah, but actually get some human interaction.
Yeah, the pre-release was just so fun, and I miss the human interaction part of Magic. But then again, I don't miss the smelliness of my game store. And
just go into, on your way there, stop by a gas station, get a car air freshener, and hang it around your neck.
That costs money, though.
They come in packs of three.
I don't know, I'd probably get dizzy or vomit from that, so.
Alright, so.
And my store owner would hate me. Hey, shout out to you, you're not listening, thank God.
Yeah, did you ever hear anything back from that kid?
What kid?
The kid that you helped out.
No, I didn't. I gave him my contact, and I should have asked for his information. I am indeed bad at this game. His father was a nice guy, though. Shout out number two to you guys.
Back-to-back really awesome. Shout-outs.
Yeah, back-to-back shout-outs. Most people have to pay us for back-to-back shout-outs. They're called sponsors, but no, that guy was awesome. Yeah,
all right.
You got your free shout-outs, but that's it now.
All right. And now the one thing that I actually came across today that I think could be a thing. Someone on the Pro Tour is going to have fun with this, almost guaranteed. You know, Sage of Hours.
Yes, that card is fun.
Sage of Hours, Solidarity of Heroes, and a card that everyone thinks is bad, but could actually have some potential, is Bioshift.
Oh my god. I wasn't even thinking about Bioshift.
So, Sage of Hours.
Wow.
As many heroic triggers with all your +1/+1 counters out there, not to mention a forgotten mechanic of Evolve, and you can Bioshift everything over to Sage of Hours and take an extra 2 or 3 turns in a single step. How good would that be?
That's awesome. And you're a terrible person, but we know that.
Yes, I am. Yeah, so that's what I came across today. Do you think it's actually, someone would actually see that, put it into action?
I will give it a shot if I get Sage of Hours on the cheap.
Well, not even sure. We can't speculate on online yet, unfortunately. Sage of Hours is coming in at, come on, internet, stop being slow. I know it's not me, it's you. There we go. $5 from MTG Madness, which will translate into about two tickets online.
Okay, how do you know that?
I don't, I'm just guessing.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say, how did you figure that out before I did?
Like I said, just guessing. Are there any cards from this set that you can think, or you think should be picked up right now, outside of the gods?
I think you should pick up boosters.
Okay.
That boosters. I was kidding. For the god packs, which are, from what I've heard, still in existence. Let me actually pull up. What's a Johnny at? Do you know?
Johnny's floating at around 23, 24. Maybe as low as 21, which I don't know why he's sitting that high. He's going to come back down.
Yeah, that's a $15 walker. How about Krufix?
What, Courser or Prophet of Krufix? Or Krufix himself?
Krufix, God of Horizons.
I think he's floating in around 10. I think Iroha and Astrios are the only ones that have... I think Iroha and Iroha and Astrios are the only ones that are above.
Kuranos is a $15 card in my mind.
I don't know. It depends upon whether or not America Control is going to use him as a closer.
Well, they were at the Star City, and he did some amazing stuff against Blue White in the top eight, but the guy ended up losing. How about Dictate of Erebos?
I love that card. Which reminds me, I need to put that card into my Prosh Commander deck.
What's the price on it?
$3.
Dictate of Erebos is not a $3 card.
No.
This is insane. This is a standard playable card. This is 5 to 10. So pick up those while they're cheap. I wouldn't spec on them. I would just buy them if you want them.
Prophetic Flame Speaker. I can't believe that's going for that much.
Prophetic Flame Speaker. I don't even know what the card is.
That's the 1-3 trample double strike that gives you, quote-unquote...
Oh, people think it's new. Yeah, that card is terrible.
It's not terrible, but it's not a $10 card.
It's just not a good card. Aegis of the Gods, I think, is a possibility. That's currently sitting at 3. I guess it'll drop before it goes up.
I've got two
Stock on Deicide and Godsend. That's interesting.
Yeah, did Godsend see any?
Yeah, I have one of them as well. Godsend didn't see much play, and I'm actually going into the camp that this card is terrible, because when I saw it see play, it did nothing better than any other equipment would be. So, Dictate of Krufix is a commander card. You can probably pick those up for like 50 cents later on in its standard lifetime. So I'm going to say no to that. Trying to see what else there could be.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a whole lot. Temples are going for...
There's just not too much to speculate on. Sage of Hours doesn't... I mean, it seems like a commander card. You can build a really cute deck around it in Commander. I think you can buy a Cruel Feeding for some weird people. Mm-hmm. See, everybody's going to have to look up the card or not know what I'm talking about, so don't
what
look
about,
up the card.
What about... What
Master
twin...
of the Feast is at $4.
Well,
that's a possibility.
Twin Flame. Master of the Feast, yes, but what about Twin Flame? What do you think on that?
Twin Flame. Not to red yet. I'm on MTG Madness. I'm not at red yet. Give me a second. Okay. Magma Spray. Oh, that's... Never mind. I thought that was a rare for a second, and I was going to say, how's that 25 cents? Twin Flame? No. That's a commander card. I think it can wait.
Really?
It's going to go
you don't think, you
way,
don't think
way down before it goes up. It's probably going to be a quarter.
A quarter for rare? Because I look at this thing and I see, like, if you have a Storm Breath out, 2 mana for a second Storm Breath to close out the game.
It's a dollar, though, and it's... What's the card? There was a card like this recently that saw no play in Standard. Did Kiki see play in Standard? Did Splinter Twin see play in Standard?
I don't know, I wasn't playing during those times.
Except with the combo. I wasn't playing during Kiki, and no, Splinter Twin saw no play in Standard. Hydra Broodmaster at $1.50, that might be worthwhile. I don't know, it'll probably go down to a dollar at some point.
So...
Yeah, Kuranos is 15, that seems fine. But yeah, there's not much to spec on in paper. When it comes online, after the release events, then we can have a real serious discussion about Journey into Nyx and how terrible it is. I actually don't dislike the set, to be completely honest, but...
Yeah, no, I was surprised last week when you said you actually liked it.
I did. All right, so is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think those were everything that I was... Yeah, everything I came up with this week. What about you? Anything else you want to shout out?
Not particularly, other than Motomart's giveaway just for our listeners. Send an email to moto_mart@outlook.com with your username and the promo code draft set, and he will pick one of you at random to get a draft set.
And we will announce you on the next show so everyone can be jealous.
It's not for the next show.
Oh.
No.
Well, for
but
whenever it happens.
By
we'll...
email. Yes.
Whenever it happens, we will give you a shout-out.
We will give you a shout-out, which is clearly worth more than the draft set.
Yeah, you didn't have to pay for it either.
No.
Except
no.
for taking an hour of your life and sacrificing it to listen to us ramble on about being bad players.
That seems like a huge mistake listening to us.
Hey, people got to commute.
That's true, that's true. Yeah, so shout out to Motomart, as always. Great guys over there. And then mtgmadness.com, as always. Links to both of those will be in the show notes. You have any shout outs?
I think the only shout out I have is to the random guy I was playing yesterday, playing against Rug, who actually gave me a good run for my money, but eventually, in the end, I beat him with Hexproof, so that was my happy day for happy moment for yesterday. So, shout out to whoever the hell you were.
Don't even have a Moto screen name.
I logged out of Moto. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I logged out of Moto, so I can't even check right now.
Oh, Moto has crashed. I was thinking you might have remembered his name.
No. No, nameless guy. If I find out your name, I'll shout you out later.
Yep, and Magic Online is down. So.
On a Sunday. Wait, no, it's Monday.
On a Monday.
Oh, I really am bad at this game.
Well, you don't work on Monday, so yeah. That...
Yeah, have I ever told you how much that sucks? Everyone would think that not having to work on a Monday is great because you don't have to deal with Mondays.
Well, it's great, but then on Saturday it sucks.
Yeah, your Monday becomes... your Tuesday becomes Monday, and you never get a long weekend off. Because you always work Tuesday to Saturday.
That's disappointing.
It is. Oh, well. That's my rant. I'm off the soapbox.
I don't know if anybody participated that's listening in Ham on Rye this weekend from the not-so-fine folks at Gatherling. But if you did, congratulations to Jack Sad for winning. And we're not going to talk about the guy who got second. But it was a classic event. A couple of my buddies joined. Shout out to Down by the Riverside for 2-4-ing with this deck that he calls Art of War. It's less than $5, and that was a classic event, so it was not fun to watch. But yeah, that happens, I think, once a year. A friend of mine also that decided to spend $200 on a deck for the event got 33rd, which did not get prizes.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Now it has classic Dredge.
Yeah, how are you doing in Dredge?
Oh, that's so several decks ago. Right now I'm playing Commander and a little bit of Draft, but I also have Mono Black and Standard and Pauper and...
Pauper. Don't talk about Pauper. Pauper's dead.
Yeah. Doesn't mean I don't have the deck.
Sorry, I had to get the funeral in there.
It's been 0 episodes since Greystone sung. On the podcast. Last week he didn't sing, and that was a glorious week for everyone listening.
I did sing.
Oh, well, it was like 4 weeks you didn't, and I was very, very happy with you. I was like, maybe I'm not so upset about having Greystone on, and then I saw he sung again. It was disappointing.
Right. Are we done for the day?
I believe we are, unless they want to hear us rant about nothing.
No, they've already done that enough.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so thank you all very much for listening, and do you have a funny outro?
Good night, everyone.
This podcast was recorded in front of a live Twitch TV audience and is hosted on MTGCast and MTGOstrat.com.